Poslušate SBS Slovenije. Prisluhnite še drugim zanimivim zgodbam na sbs.com.au / Slovenije.
Nadaljujemo z današnjo slovensko oddajo na radiju SBS širom Avstralije in po svetu. Naslednji gost je se oglasila pred nekaj meseci, potem ko je bila nepričakovana sprememba v odboru Slovenskega društva Sydney in so ustanovili krizni odbor. Na drugi strani telefona je tajnica Slovenskega društva Sydney, ki ima tudi dolžnost odnosov z mediji in nam bo povedala, kako zgleda nadaljna pot, kaj je novega od zadnjega oglašanja in še več. Najprej pa seveda lepo pozdravljen na slovenski oddaji Radio SBS Olga Lah.
Lep pozdrav vsem poslušalcem tega programa. Hvala za priložnost, Sanja, da vam lahko razlagam, kaj se dogaja v Slovenskem društvu Sydney. My greetings to all the listeners of the program.
We'll speak in English. Last time we spoke a few months ago, the crisis committee had been recently appointed and there was much to do in terms of investigating the current situation, what options there were for the club to move forward. What is the current status and the future options for opening the club?
Okay. Tanya, thank you for the opportunity. Tanya, we know that 2020 hasn't been a very good year for many businesses in Australia, and that definitely includes the Slovensko društvo in Sydney. As most of the listeners on your radio already know, we've had to close the club for several months due to the coronavirus restrictions. We know that our members, they've certainly told us enough times, I know that our members have really missed their Sunday afternoon get-togethers at the club. So the committee has some good news. They've decided to open the club, but on a trial basis, twice a month. Starting tomorrow on the 27th of September, the club will be open from 11 o'clock in the morning till 5 o'clock at night. And in the future, if it's successful, the club will be open on every second and every fourth Sunday. Tanya, on these open Sundays, though, we will have to be very careful to follow the government guidelines. I think you probably have read in the papers that any club or institution breaking the rules can get an on-the-spot fine of $5,000. The government is pretty strict and requires that we have actually a safety marshal at the club. And so any visitor on those Sundays will see a person dressed in a bright vest walking around and checking and reminding everyone to keep their distance of 1.5 meters. Everyone has to stay sitting at all times. Look, it's very sad, but there is no dancing allowed. And we do have a maximum of 70 people at any one time in the hall. So as our members know, the club has lost its kitchen now for many years, 7 years. But we will be able to offer a simple meal on these open Sundays. And with the goodwill and understanding of our members, I think these Sundays may become very pleasant experiences for all. So that's the good news, Tanya.
Okay, great. And we know a few weeks ago that the members received another letter from the committee with an update overall. Tell us a bit more, and particular in relation to the mention of a commencement of court proceedings against the club.
Oh, yes. Look, when I last spoke to the listeners, to your listeners, I explained that the past president, Mr. Chernek, stepped down from the role of president after many years due to poor health. And because of the club's financial problems and concerns with the lease agreement that was in place between the tenant and the club, as you've mentioned, a crisis committee was formed with the job of finding a pathway through the complicated issues the club was facing. The lease agreement, I think I mentioned before, was not working for the club. And we hoped to negotiate with the tenant and find a solution that would be acceptable to both parties. But sadly, the tenant, the manor on Elizabeth, surprised the club a few months ago and took the club to court. This was definitely something the club wanted to avoid. But perhaps this is a great opportunity for me to explain why the tenant has taken the club to the Supreme Court. I know that is one of the questions that we are frequently asked. Look, it's a very complicated legal affair, and I can't give too much detail, but I will try to explain in simple terms so that we get an idea of what is the situation. Can I go backtrack a few years? Tanya, I know that you know, and certainly a lot of your listeners will know, that the Slovenian Club in Sydney had a lovely small restaurant and function room. And I know that many families celebrated their birthdays, anniversaries, christenings, etc. I know my family certainly made great use of that function room. However, after years, the club had difficulty finding volunteers to run that restaurant. In early 2013, the brothers Carmine and Stefano Labazetta came along and proposed to the committee that they would build a restaurant and a function room for the club. A restaurant that the club members could enjoy. They proposed to expand the restaurant and the function rooms and were prepared to run that restaurant. And to everyone, I think this seemed like a good idea. But this meant that our existing kitchen and function room had to be torn down and a new extension was going to be built in its place. Sadly, until the restaurant was finished, we had to make do with another arrangement. And it was agreed with the tenant that he would supply food to the club and the club would serve the food from temporary warming bowls, if you like, in a small room that used to be a storeroom. But it was always agreed that this was only a temporary solution. This was always going to be a temporary situation, and only until the restaurant was built. The area of that leased area was originally agreed to measure 1,183 square metres in size. A little while later, the club agreed to increase that to 1,905 square metres. And both the club and the tenant agreed that the rent that the tenant had to pay would be calculated on that 1,900 square metre size lease. Now, if we track time forward, a question needs to be asked, and that is, where are we now 7 years later? And I can say very honestly, there is still no kitchen for the club. 7 years later, instead of the promised restaurant for the club, a full wedding function centre has been built. The tenant has greatly increased the size of the development over the years, and he has done this without the written approval of the committee. Now, the tenant is claiming that a large portion of land around the club is under his lease, and he's free to do with it what he wants until 2048. Even more worrying, the tenant is claiming under the lease that he is leasing 5,687 square metres. That is three times greater than what the committee believes he is leasing. So now the tenant is taking the club to the Supreme Court and wants a judge to force the club to accept the increased area of the lease from 1,905 square metres to 5,687 square metres, almost surrounding the club. And to make matters worse, the tenant has put a caveat on their property. Now, a caveat is a legal restriction that stops a landlord or an owner from doing anything with their own property. The club can't subdivide, it can't sell any part of the property. In many ways, we are captive on our own property. The tenant has even begun to label areas of the property. Those people who have visited the club recently will have noticed signs that have been put up stating property of manor on Elizabeth. This is a very disturbing situation. So that's the first thing that we're being taken to the court for. But there is a second area that is being questioned. The tenant also wants a judge to rule that the club must continue to operate on site as a club until 2048. Even if the club is unable to financially function, it cannot do anything to save itself until 2048. And why is this? Let me try and explain. This is because the club's land is zoned B5. And this B5 zoning prohibits the building and operation of a function centre. unless it is an extension of an existing registered club. That is why the tenant is trying so hard through court action to keep us on the site. The tenant cannot operate unless we remain on site as a registered club. I just want to point out again, Tanya, that it is the tenant who has commenced court action against the club. Because I know that there are rumours that it is in fact the club that is commencing court action. This is false news.
As it's still in progress, we can't say much more until we hear more of an outcome. And we don't know obviously how long that will be.
No, we have no idea. And really, we can't give any more detail than that. That gives you a summary of what, around about what the problem is.
Okay, so obviously that gives us a view as to why it's happening perspective. And we know obviously there was also a recent expression of interest. Did that present any options? Obviously that may not be feasible given the current lawsuit anyway.
You've hit the nail on the head, Tanya. Look, you know that the club's committee, due to the financial problems of the club, has to investigate all future options for the club. And one of the first things the committee felt it had to do was to find out the true market value of our property. And because of the long-term lease, the club had to find out the market value of the property with the lease attached, at least until 2048. That wasn't an easy task. Visitors to our club would have seen a sign that went up a few months ago. The sign invited an expression of interest. Now, this does not mean the property was going to be sold. But what it was doing, it was asking developers what they were prepared to pay for a property that had a lease attached to it till 2048. Initially, there was a strong response, but only a few businessmen were interested in a property with such a lease attached. And now, because of the court action and the lease complications, these interested businessmen are no longer interested. And that's understandable. We now, of course, hope that the court case will settle the matters of conflict and we can then look at a future for the club and look at all the different options for the club.
And that obviously puts into question also about having an extraordinary general meeting and also an annual general meeting given the current COVID restrictions. And obviously we need to wait probably a little bit until the conclusion of the court case to do the extraordinary general meeting to understand what the terms are and provide that clear picture to the members and what they want to do with the future.
Absolutely, Tanya. There is no decision that can be made about the future of the club without going to either an annual general meeting or an extraordinary general meeting. Our committee cannot make any decisions. We have made that commitment. And unfortunately, with the coronavirus and the COVID-19 restrictions, it's created a real problem because we are unable to hold such a meeting at this particular time. We are only permitted to accommodate 70 visitors in the club at any one time, as I mentioned before. And although we are planning for an AGM late November or early December, which is when the meeting usually takes place, we don't know what the situation is going to be like with COVID-19. And so we are carefully monitoring the situation and we will definitely keep our members well informed.
Okay, so it sounds like we need to wait a little bit longer to see what the COVID situation looks like and where this court case will take us in terms of timing. We obviously wish you and the committee all the best with trying to navigate the next few months around this whole situation, and hope obviously that there'll be a lot of people that will be joining you on tomorrow in the club.
Yeah, we definitely hope so, Tanya. I wonder, Tanya, if you can give me just a minute to just make a few concluding comments. I'd like to address just a few issues, just in a few words. First of all, look, it is well known to our members that the financial state of our club has been deteriorating for the past decade or so. We've mentioned that many times, and the AGM reports, financial reports, have always shown that. Now we are being taken to court, as I mentioned before, to defend the assets of the club. Although the current funds of the club are lower than we would desire, but with careful management, we can cover the basic running costs, bearing in mind that the club is closed to functions, Well, this court action started by the tenant is now creating for the association big financial challenges, you can imagine. We are fortunate that we have a few benevolent and anonymous Slovenian members who are prepared to underwrite the costs of the court case and at 0% interest. Look, it's admirable. Their loyalty and support are welcome and appreciated. And these people will in fact become the unsung heroes in our community. I'm certain of that. I also want to just make a mention of something else. There are some worrying things that have been happening to the club lately. The club in recent times has been broken into and only members' addresses and contact details were stolen. Nothing else. And I find that interesting. We have also had vandalism on several occasions. The most recent, only a few days ago, after the break-in, we replaced all the locks on all the doors of the club, expensive locks. And a few days ago, those expensive locks to the entrance, main entrance, and the side doors of our club were vandalized and super glued to prevent key access into our club. You know, we are curious about who has such anger towards the club to vandalize our club in that way. Also, I would like to mention that I hear that there is false information being spread in the community. There are rumours that the current committee intends to sell the property of the club and then divide the money amongst itself. Look, such rumours are really disturbing. And I just want to point out that our constitution states very clearly, and I should quote this, in our constitution it says, if upon winding up or dissolution of the association, there remains, after settling all its debts and liabilities, any property whatsoever, the assets shall not be distributed among the members of the association, but shall be given or transferred to some other institution or institutions that have the same objectives and goals, similar to the objectives and goals of the association. It prohibits the distribution of its income or property among its members. I hope that makes that clear and the rumours that I'm hearing all the time are put to bed. I really ask our members, please do not listen to false information. We will keep you informed of the situation as truthfully and honestly as we can. Just as all other Slovenian clubs in Australia, our club is being run by a committee of volunteers who are doing everything in their power to protect the assets of the association. Look, in fact, we are protecting the legacy of hardworking Slovenians who've worked hard for a long period, 64 years. The current committee bears this responsibility heavily on its shoulders. But more than ever, we need your support.
So obviously there's a lot for everyone to take in, I think a lot of information. And we will be here obviously for any further updates when we have new things to tell the members and the listeners obviously across Australia, because this is obviously a community-wide information. And Olga Lachvala za današnji pogovor o trenutnom stanju pri Slovenskem društvu Sydney. Sve vam in celim odboru sveda želimo veliko uspeha.
Thank you, Tanya. And the committee hopes to meet many of you in the coming Open Sundays. Come and reconnect with your friends and come and support the club. Bodite zdravi in varni.
Želite slišati sorodne zgodbe? Prisluhnite jim preko Apple ali Google podcasta, preko aplikacije Spotify ali kjerkoli drugje.